At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your swimming uninhibitedly, chop salad making, I accidentally dug up a pet cemetery friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your new giant chair sitting, squirrel mange researching. I'm traveling next week and panicking about leaving my cat's friend.
Oh, and every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
Kathleen, I did something last night that I never thought I would do, and I'm going to talk about it. I watched the motion picture, You've Got Mail.
Bethany!
I did it for you.
You didn't even tell me you were doing this.
Nope. I had a glass of whiskey, and I sat down to watch the Nora Ephron classic, and I wrote all of my thoughts as I got drunker and drunker on my phone, and it ended in me sobbing, but not for the reasons you'd think.
No.
And we're going to talk about it, because this is not my type of movie. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I much prefer horror. Nora Ephron is not my genre, but I have some thoughts. So I'm going to talk about that. What about you, Kathleen?
So excited. Okay. So this week I am talking about, there's this board game that I don't know. I must have seen it on Instagram or something. It's kind of like, what's that card game people like?
Uno, Solitaire, War.
Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, yes.
This one's called Bad People.
Okay.
And I'm such a fraud because I didn't buy it. I just looked up the cards on Instagram, on Google Images. And we're going to play the game.
That's so not what the creators of Bad People want you to do.
Bethany, we're going to play the game Bad People based off of Google Images, and we're going to figure out which of us is the worst person.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea. I've taken many BuzzFeed quizzes just by Google imaging BuzzFeed quizzes.
Oh, really? Is that a thing?
I mean, just like, no, not BuzzFeed. What am I? Cosmo. Like Cosmo quizzes. Mm-hmm. Or trying to find old quizzes from teen magazines back from like the 90s and early 2000s. Oh, sometimes you can get some good Google images.
I love the YM, Young and Modern, when they have like the embarrassing stories, because I used to think that they were so embarrassing, but like they're not
so
really
mortifying.
That embarrassing.
There was always one where someone ended up throwing up in someone else's mouth. I just remember that. I was like, dear YM, I was about to make out with this boy, but instead I threw up in his mouth. I was mortified. And I'm like, how do you kiss? Is it like Baby Bird where the guy's mouth is just open waiting? That seems not the right. Or maybe I'm kissing wrong. Am I kissing wrong?
You know, there's like a 2001, I think it's May of 2001 or March of 2001 episode or issue rather of Cosmo Girl, where it's like, what do you do when no one's around? And then sure enough, I like entered what I did when no one's around in the online website. And I'm like, when no one's around, I turn off all the lights in my house except for one. And I pretend that I'm on Broadway. And I forgot that I did that. And there it is. It's like Kathleen, Maywood, New Jersey, age 14. And all of my friends saw, and I was like, no, there's other Kathleen's in this town. There's other Kathleen's. It could be someone else. It's not me. Like, I was so embarrassed.
Like, it got printed in the magazine?
Yeah, Jessica Simpson was on the cover. I've been trying to find a digital copy of that page from that issue for such a long time. It's not working.
Screw that. You need to find the actual copy of the magazine. That's insane.
I need to tell you about this amazing thing I bought on Amazon.
Okay.
Okay, when you go to a salad place where they're charging you, like, I don't know, $18 for a salad, and you're like, ugh. Yeah. I'm like, oh, why is this salad so good? Like, what makes it so good? And ultimately, I came to the conclusion it's because it's chopped.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
you get a little bit of everything in every bite that you take.
Sure.
So for $30, I went on Amazon and I bought myself a big salad bowl that comes with the chopper. And I've been chopping my own salads and it's groundbreaking.
So how does it work? Is the chopper shaped like a scythe?
It looks like a pizza roller, you know, like a pizza cutter.
Yeah.
Except it's like two of them stuck together with a little pole in between. So it's like a double chop. And then you put everything in your salad bowl and then you roll it up and down in all of these directions and it chops everything. And then you add your dressing and it's like, it's the best thing I've ever purchased.
That's wonderful. How big is it? Where are you storing that thing?
It's not giant. It's like a normal size, you know, big salad bowl, but it's nothing like gigantic. It's certainly
can
not.
Can I take the choppers out of it so that I can put other bowls in it?
Yes, or of course. It's not attached. No.
Oh, thank God. I was thinking it was some sort of like, it was like a cover that had to stay on and you had to pour all your ingredients around the chopper. No. I don't know. I have like major storage issues and a lot of storage panic.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing I think of.
I get that. The other day I was telling my friend about my salad chopper and she's like, oh, do you put it in the salad spinner first? I'm like, what? I don't have room for a salad spinner.
Who has the space for a salad spinner? Who has the space?
I don't. But now I think I need one because sometimes my salad is a little too wet.
Yeah, you got to use that sweet, sweet paper towel action.
I know, but it's like a salad spinner might save some trees or something.
I don't know. I don't have the bandwidth to even make a salad at home because that involves trying to keep lettuce from going rotten in my fridge. Never happens. Once I buy lettuce, as soon as I take it into my house, it immediately goes rotten. Same thing with bananas. Same things with avocados.
Did your mom leave you a bunch of food in your fridge before she left?
She did. My sweet mother left on Friday morning, yeah. I think, and she had made an entire vat of soup for me, which is really sweet. It's this incredibly good, like peanut and tomato based soup. It has a ton of vegetables in it. She normally makes it by, I don't know how this turned into food hour.
Yeah.
It's really not, but like she basically usually cooks down like an entire chicken in there. Ooh. But she made it with just a ton of vegetables. We froze a bunch of it. And so she left me with dinner for the next 2 weeks or so. And like, you know, a bunch of chocolate and stuff. And it was really nice. I did not realize how much I missed my mom until my mom was here. And then I just started sobbing.
I know. I had a feeling you needed her around. I was getting like vibes from the Bethany camp that you were having like a tete-a-tete like all week and you needed a little break.
Yeah, I was barely on my phone at all because my mom and I just talked and talked and talked. And actually, if you are a member of our Patreon family, my mom was on last week's live show and we opened up the replay to both our $2 patrons and our normal $4 patrons or $5 patrons rather. So if you're a $2 patron, definitely watch that video of the live performance because I think everyone needs a little bit of momming right now,
yeah.
A little bit of like that maternal support.
Your mom was so wonderful. On our live show, she had me in tears, Bethany.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. She's really good at giving advice. And we had taste buds up who needed a little bit of comfort and advice. And my mom solved a lot of people's problems, I think, that night.
So speaking of being a mom, our dear editor, Charlotte, had her baby.
She did.
A little baby girl named, I think the right pronunciation is Galen.
Galen or Galen. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's such a pretty name. Everyone's healthy. And we're just sending our love to the whole family.
I'm wondering if maybe we should have Charlotte on a bonus episode to talk about what it's really like to give birth. Like, she holds no details back.
Yeah, Charlotte shares.
She does.
I think that's a great idea because I'm never going to have children.
Yeah.
And so I am very curious about the kind of pain that it is, mm-hmm. you know? And people are usually like, oh, it's the worst. You can't even imagine the pain. Well, help me try. That's my pet peeve is when I ask a question and the person doesn't answer it and doesn't even try to answer it. Like, well, try. Can you try to describe it? No,
just,
man, it's indescribable.
We'll
try.
You're not a very smart individual if something is indescribable.
Just try it. It's a little bit like someone commented on my Instagram this weekend that Dennis and I are, quote, weird.
What?
And I was really annoyed by it, not because I took it as an insult, but because it's such a lazy comment. Mm-hmm. Like, to say something is weird to me is the same as someone asking you a question and you saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, you do know. It just takes a little bit of thought. How are we weird?
Yeah.
Like, are we different than you? And that's weird.
And does that make you uncomfortable? Because
right.
If differences make you uncomfortable, you have some soul searching to do, my friend.
Right. Right. Or is it like, we're too dark for you? That's something. Then that's a thing I can handle. But just saying you're weird is so lazy to me. Oh. I just like, try harder. We all need to try harder with our language mm-hmm. and with our thoughts. That's my new 2021. We're almost done with 2021 mantra.
I am not ready for this summer to be over. And I know, Bethany, I think you were in Marshall's. You sent me a text message of all these beautiful, like, gold glass pumpkins.
Yeah, because Halloween's almost here.
Not ready. And you know what? It's funny because I think a taste bud also took the same photo at a TJ Maxx because it's the same stuff at Marshall's and TJ Maxx. And she's like, thinking of you. And I'm like, why is everybody thinking of fall too soon?
What is it about summer you don't want to be at? Because we're in the middle of a heat wave right now, a tropical heat wave. And this doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't. I got to tell you. So I had some friends over at my mom's house this weekend. I had a party because my mom's out of town.
Oh.
It was just two friends. And we ordered a pizza. And my friend made this delicious peanut butter pie. And we just swam in my mom's pool. And we played some Beach Boys music. And it was just like, ah, oh, it felt like a taste of childhood summer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think if you have a pool, you have a very different experience of summer than non-pool access people. Because I think, yeah, having a pool, that's the best.
Oh.
That's fun. And then, yeah, you can just sort of like laze around. And if you get too hot, you jump in.
Yes.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and you know what? I was around friends who I trusted and my husband, and I put on my bathing suit and I just was like, I'm just going to be uninhibited today. I'm just going to swim and jump out and not worrying about like folding my arms over my tummy. I'm not going to care.
The water doesn't care. The summer doesn't care. No. The summer's going to make you sweat regardless. It doesn't give a crap about you.
I went down the water slide with my arms up in the air. I hadn't even shaved underneath my pits.
Your mom has a water slide?
Yeah, she's got a little bit of a water slide. She does, yeah.
Who is your mother?
I'm telling you, my parents bought this house when it was in foreclosure back in the early 90s, and they really made a very good decision.
Wow.
But I have to tell you, the Ring camera, this is why, Bethany, you need to have like 10 rings set up in your apartment to capture moments like this.
Yeah.
At one point, the wind blew too hard and the patio umbrella started to blow over. And my friend Pam was like, Whitney, because the umbrella was about to hit Whitney. And I jump out of the pool in all of my glory, like my fat jiggling everywhere. And instead of caring about Whitney, I was like, where's the peanut butter pie? Because the table was about to be knocked over and I wanted another piece.
You have this on camera?
I have it on camera.
Please. Is audio included in your subscription?
And it is, yes. And Bethany, it's like you just see my little butt. Like, well, I get out of the pool and I start like running towards the umbrella. And then, sometimes I was wearing like a cheapy bathing suit. So, you know, at the very bottom of your butt crack where the bathing suit is supposed to be taut down there so you don't see the crack? Well, this is like a cheapy Target bathing suit. And so it's like the crack you could see, like the bathing suit was suctioned into my crack. I'm just like, where's the peanut butter pie? I'm basically naked, except there's like a little green sheen where my swimsuit is.
Please send me that video.
Oh, I will. I will. I did not care about my friend. I just didn't want the pie to get knocked over.
I had a similar experience this weekend where I was over at Dennis's. We were filming something late at night. And so, and that for me is like 9 p.m. So I got home at like 10:30. I would say. And we had been filming outside. It was so hot. So I was hot. Covered in sweat.
Yeah.
It was a long train ride home. The train was late because it's the weekend. There's, you know, just everything's happening. And I get inside finally to my apartment. My Ring camera's on. I don't even turn the light on. I come in the front door. I drop my bags on the floor and I just sit on the floor right in front of the door, the front door. And I just talk to the cats. Yep. And I'm just like, hey, guys, how's it going? And I sit on the floor in the dark for 20 minutes.
No, you didn't.
And it's all on
no,
my Ring
you
camera.
Didn't.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
I was just depleted and tired, and I didn't even have the motivation to turn lights on.
You know, there's that viral video going around. I sent it to you earlier of the Ring footage where the owls are in front of the Ring camera, like these little these little baby owls, and they're staring right into the camera. You know, so like Ring always puts out there the cute things that happen, but they should really make a series of pathetic videos strung together of like people like you that come in, you just sit on the floor, you know. Yeah.
like eating, just sitting on the floor eating.
Yeah, you know, why do we have to only share the Ring videos of like dogs doing amazing tricks or like the postman giving a high five to a little boy? Like, let's just just show sad Ring. Let's start a channel called Sad Ring.
Oh, I would definitely subscribe to that Sad Ring channel. I bet it'd be just as good as the kids getting hurt Instagram, which is one of my favorites. Okay, so last night, Kathleen, I had some whiskey, and I decided that it was time. I've been playing with the idea of watching You've Got Mail for a long time now, ever since we really started talking about how it, like, it came up in conversation so many times in my life at one point that it was just time.
Bethany, I am so excited for this segment, more excited than anything you've ever done before.
This is like one of your favorite movies of all time, right?
It's my favorite movie of all time.
How many times did you say you've seen You've Got Mail starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan?
Oh, well, the first time I saw it, I was on a plane on United on my way home from space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. And I was like, oh, my God, a main character where the girl's name is Kathleen. I am destined to love this movie.
Yes.
That was 1997 or 1998. Okay. Since then, I've probably seen it like 100 times at least.
That many times?
Like, I have it on DVD. I used to just get ready to it every morning. I used to just put it on every morning and get ready to it.
Oh, I used to do that with Star Wars, with the original Star Wars. I would put them on and get ready to them. That's how I watched all those movies. Oh, that's really sweet.
That sounds calming.
Oddly, very calming. So I had resisted seeing this movie for a number of reasons. First and foremost, I'm not a rom-com fan.
Yeah.
I feel like they set unrealistic standards for what relationships should be, and they set you up for failure.
You're not incorrect about that.
I also don't like watching movies that are going to make me feel sad about life, because, again, all of these feelings I've been trying to push down slash my treated yet always present depression can come just flowing back like so many drunken thoughts.
Yes.
And lastly, I hadn't seen it because it just didn't interest me. No one got murdered. Yeah. No one was being hunted. No one was a ghost. Mm-mm.
But someone does go out of business.
Which is terrifying in and of itself.
Let's be real. 2021, going out of business is scary enough to be a horror movie plot.
Yeah. The terrors of running a small business in New York City in and of itself is a horrifying thought. So if you've not seen You've Got Mail, I'm going to give a quick rundown of the plot. And then, Kathleen, I just wrote notes in my phone and we're going to go through them. And I want you to chime in. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, here's the plot of You've Got Mail. Kathleen Kennedy, Meg Ryan, Kathleen Kelly is dating Greg Kinnear, who is the most charming Greg Kinnear I've ever seen in my life. He's a columnist. Yeah, he's so cute and charming in this. Like, when he gets a crush on the news anchor, and he's like so authentically cute. Whatever. The gist of it is that she runs this small children's bookshop. And all of a sudden, there is a new Fox Books that's going to open across the street. It's basically like the Barnes & Noble of books. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, she, at the start of the movie, has been having this emotional affair via email with someone who they don't give any personal information about themselves. She doesn't know who it is. We find out right away it's Joe who runs Fox Books.
Yes.
So ultimately, Joe ends up realizing before Kathleen does who they both are.
Yeah, because they've been chatting over AOL email. Bethany, the best part about this is that you get to hear the old dial-up sound, like, you've got mail.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, yeah. And it's basically a commercial for AOL.
Yeah.
His friend, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, who definitely did this for the money, because he's given really no character, is the one who realizes that Tom Hanks has been chatting with Meg Ryan, his enemy, the shop owner that he's going to put out of business.
Yes.
And once Tom Hanks realizes it, he also realizes he's falling for Meg Ryan. So he coordinates ways that he just bumps into her. He starts giving her advice on how to handle this email bow.
Yes.
And ultimately, he comes clean in a really romantic, let's meet at 4 p.m. at Riverside Park. And then he's the one who shows up. And she's like, I always wanted it to be you. And they kiss.
She's like, I knew it was you. I wanted it to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a right. So, okay. So let's get started. I'm just going to go through my notes of You've Got Mail.
Mm-hmm.
My first note, this movie is 2 hours long.
Is it really?
It's 2 hours long.
Yeah, 2 hours of pure joy, my friend.
I want a tight 90. I want a tight 90, especially if it's a rom-com. We don't have, there's no sort of like, we have to go back in time or there's alternate plots. There's no sort of crazy, give me a tight 90.
Okay, I disagree, but okay.
But then Parker Posey shows up and I wrote, I like Parker Posey.
Yeah, except her character is so heinous in this movie. Yeah. Parker Posey is Tom Hanks's original girlfriend.
Yeah.
Both Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, they both have significant others, like other significant others at the beginning of the movie. And Parker Posey is like, I think the quintessential New York woman, like how that was portrayed in movies in the 90s, like really busy and like kind of mean and like a shark and cutthroat and just like, ugh, like can't, it's just always filled with anxiety, but also like thinks she's so funny.
Yeah. And she's very self-obsessed.
Yeah.
Here's how the movie tells us right away that she's a bad person.
Yeah.
She has a bob, which means that she is not fun. They did the same thing to what's her name in Jurassic World, redheaded friend.
Yeah.
They gave her a severe bob, which is how we knew that she was a shark. And then as the movie went on, her hair got more and more relaxed and like tousled, which is how we knew she was thawing as a woman.
Get out. Oh, my God.
And then the other reason we know Parker Posey is a bad woman is she drinks espresso while Tom Hanks is drinking orange juice. That's how we know she's not the woman for us.
And she's always dressed in like business attire and she likes black and she's got business meetings.
Yeah, she's very important. She's business, business, business. Then I just wrote Dave Chappelle, ?
Yeah, okay, so I think that this movie, Dave Chappelle needed the money, but also this movie was before he was very famous.
Okay.
You know?
He does a great job. His character, he's given no character.
No.
But he does a great job.
Yeah.
Then I wrote, now I understand, Kathleen, why you love Alexa so much and are so open to robots taking over the world.
Why?
You are just Meg Ryan with computers, with AOL, and I am Greg Kinnear, who wants to use his old-timey typewriter and doesn't trust computers or the internet.
Yeah. So Meg Ryan loves her computer. When her boyfriend leaves for work in the morning, she tiptoes over to the computer because, God forbid, her boyfriend, who's obsessed with writing, like the real way that people used to write longhand and typewriters, and he loves the sound of his typewriter. He loves the gentle lore of some sort of typewriter, whatever. She tiptoes over to her computer and she's like, nothing brings me more joy than that sound. You've got mail. And she like turns on her giant ass computer and twiddles her fingers under her chin like an evil cartoon. But you know she's not evil because she's Meg Ryan. Her hair is cut in like a soft shag and she loves pastel cardigan sets and she's waiting to read her.
No, she doesn't wear a pastel in this movie, Kathleen. She only wears
neutrals.
Tan.
Yeah, all neutrals.
How boring did they? She is supposed to be this whimsical character and they gave her the most boring clothing to wear. I could not understand it. It's all neutral linens and black turtlenecks. What were they thinking?
I think she's supposed to dress very androgynously. is the...
But that doesn't match the character at all.
Well, she's like a bookshop owner, so she cares.
But she twirls. Like, one of the bookends of the movie is her twirl. Like, again, she does a great job.
Yeah.
But I'm so confused by the wardrobe they gave her.
She wears a lot of pleated khakis.
In the penultimate moment with Tom Hanks, she is wearing a pleated khaki and a sweater set. And I'm like, girl, they did not do you any favors in this movie.
You know, one of the things that I love most about this movie is that, and I'm always paying attention to interior decor and filming locations in movies, is that the house that she lives in, it is truly shabby chic. It gets me so angry when I'm watching a movie about, I don't know, a girl who's struggling with money, and then she lives in like a picture perfect apartment and with new kitchen appliances. In this movie, her tables are old, her lamps are old, like Laura Ashley florals are everywhere. Like, it's truly shabby chic. And
but she lives in a giant brownstone, though.
Yeah, she lives in, yeah, but I think like it's an apartment. She just has one floor in a brownstone.
Yeah, but it's like a 1200 square foot apartment. Like, she's in the Upper West Side.
Yeah, she's in the Upper West Side.
She's
so
not hurting for money.
I will tell you this, and you don't even pick up on it, Bethany. Part of the development of her character is how the furniture becomes rearranged throughout in her apartment throughout the movie.
You're right. I did not notice that.
They're rearranging her bed. They're like putting it in different positions. And I love this. You know, most people, when they have desks, it's either like the desk faces the wall, and then, you know, you sit facing the wall, or the desk, the chair back is to the wall, and the desk faces out. But in this movie, she's got it sideways. So it's like juts out into the center of the room, and then the room revolves around her desk because that's where her computer is.
Oh, look at that. There's some meaning in the chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I wrote, I think Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan will end up together.
Well, duh. Okay, you knew that before. You knew that going in, so.
So now we're with Tom Hanks, and he has this dog. Mm-hmm. My pet peeve is when animals look off stage or off set at their animal trainers.
What?
Drives me nuts. You see it almost every single time there's an animal in, especially older sitcoms and movies. The animal is almost always looking, like, very alert off camera, because that's where their trainer is.
I see.
And so Tom Hanks is like talking to the dog, and the dog is just always looking at someone else. And I'm like, could the trainer at least stand to the side of Tom Hanks so the dog is appearing to look at Tom Hanks?
Oh.
It happens in sitcoms. It happened on Full House all the time.
Really?
Happened on Step by Step. The dog is always laying and staring off set, off camera. And I'm like, oh, can you train the dog to not look at the trainer?
Maybe that's harder than you think.
It probably is, but like, it's such a peeve of mine, and it was a big problem.
Oh, Tom Hanks loves Brinkley in this movie. Brinkley.
Of course he does. He's a good dog.
Well, that's how you know his original girlfriend, Parker Posey, is a bad person, because she doesn't like Brinkley.
Yeah, she lets the dog go. Mm-hmm. I then said, 7 minutes in, and they said the name of the movie twice. And then I said, these two are having the most emotional affair ever.
Yeah, they are.
If I was a partner, I would be pissed. And then I wrote, I hope Parker Posey and Greg Kinnear bone at the end of this.
But they don't. I was really hoping that too, but they don't.
They don't. They don't bone. Mm-mm. The first line Steve Zahn said is something about not being able to get a woman. And I wrote, Steve Zahn is an incel. But then he turns out to be very nice.
Yeah, I know. Steve Zahn, he's so young in this movie. I love Steve Zahn.
I do too.
In everything he does, I think he's fabulous.
Yeah, he's great. I think he's from the Midwest.
Oh.
Tom Hanks' dad looks like Dr. Phil.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Hmm. And then this is what I don't understand. Tom Hanks' character goes on a rant against Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I said, why does Tom Hanks hate Starbucks? He is the Starbucks of booksellers. He's a hypocrite, and I question if I should even like him at all. But he is Tom Hanks, and so I will like him, which is probably why they cast Tom Hanks.
Okay, but so the part that gets me about the Starbucks scene in that movie is that Starbucks is giving out real mugs, like actual.
They used to.
Actual real mugs and like little tea dishes underneath the mugs. And I'm like, wow, what is this? Yep.
When I worked at Starbucks, we still did that. Maureen, I wrote, needs her own movie. Now, Maureen is the nanny of Tom Hanks's step his father's girlfriend.
It's his stepmom. His father had a child who's like 35 years younger than Tom Hanks. So Tom Hanks has a little brother that's 35 years younger or something.
Yeah. And Maureen is like the nanny that travels with this evil stepmother.
Yeah.
And Maureen needs her own movie. She only has one or two scenes and she is a breakthrough star of this. Because she's getting a divorce and Tom Hanks is like, oh, I'm sorry. And Maureen goes, it's my own fault. I shouldn't marry a man who lies. And she's like barely holding it together.
You would like that character.
I love Maureen. She's the best. Okay, so then Tom Hanks takes his aunt, who's like 9, mm-hmm. and his brother, who's like 7. And they go to like a neighborhood fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his aunt, the little girl, Annabelle, is it Annabelle?
Yeah, Annabelle.
She does a ring toss. She gets the ring over the bottle. And you can tell that it wasn't supposed to happen because the little girl throws her hands in the air in excitement. And then Tom Hanks looks at the guy running the booth, who is an extra, and asks what the girl wins. And the extra clearly wasn't given permission to say anything, because if he says anything, he's no longer an extra. He is a character and he has to get paid more because he has a line. He's like an under 5.
Yeah.
And so he just stares at Tom Hanks confused. So like Tom Hanks was acting organically. He's like, she won. What does she win? And the guy is like, because he's not allowed to speak because he's just an extra.
I never noticed that.
Yep. It was awesome.
But Bethany, I think you're missing the point. It's about two people falling in love without ever having even met each other. They just fall in love with each other's words.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I get it, but like these are my thoughts as I'm drunk watching the movie.
No, but it's exciting. It's heartwarming.
Sure. No? Annabelle sneezed and the first thing I literally thought of was COVID. And then I wrote down, Meg Ryan and Allison Hannigan have the same smile. Have you ever noticed that?
Really?
Yes. Meg Ryan and Willow from Buffy have the same smile.
So if I recall correctly, Meg Ryan kind of smiles with one side of her mouth first.
Yeah, she does like a smirk.
Yeah.
You know she realized young that that was cute. And then she kind of trained herself into it.
See, I love Meg Ryan's character in this movie because she truly loves sharing her love of books with little kids, you know?
Totally.
She's knows great. All of the best authors. She knows all of the best illustrations. She has them, these stories memorized by heart. And a little kid comes in and she looks at a little kid and she knows exactly what book that little kid is going to love. And I think it's beautiful.
I would have loved to have a bookstore like this growing up.
Yeah.
Definitely. Then I wrote, God bless 90s eyebrows, because Meg Ryan's eyebrows start 1/3 of the way into her eye. They do not start in the corner of her eye, which is where they're supposed to start. Okay, so then Meg Ryan's having business problems because Fox Books is like threatening to shut them down. And so she is emailing with who she doesn't realize is Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. and he doesn't realize yet it's her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's a business problem. And he tells her to fight to the death.
Yes.
This is when it should become a revenge movie with a lot of blood. This is when it could take a really satisfying turn. This is one of 2 points where it could take a really satisfying turn.
Like, what do you want them to do? Put anthrax inside of books and send them to each other?
I mean, I think that would be, wouldn't that be fascinating? Or if it's like in the Thriller video where they like meet out in the middle of the street, they tie their wrists together and they have a knife fight?
Yeah.
Come on.
I see. It would be great. You build book forts on either side of the street. One Fox Books book fort and one Shop Around the Corner book fort. And then they toss bookmarks at each other, but the bookmarks, they turn into those throwing stars and they're really sharp.
And I think Nora Ephron could write a really biting murder scene, you know?
Yeah.
So then at one point, I was just concerned about disclosure because Greg Kinnear writes a really like defensively wonderful article about how Fox Books sucks and is like taking down the Shop Around the Corner. And like he didn't disclose he's dating the Shop Around the Corner's owner. I feel like that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, definitely.
I laughed out loud when Tom Hanks yelled, I was eloquent. Shit.
Okay. Tom Hanks. How old do you think Tom Hanks was in this movie?
Like 32.
Bethany, he was 42 years old.
No. What is his skincare regime?
I know.
Regimen? I never know.
I am so attracted to Tom Hanks in this movie. It's something about... I mean, in every movie, I'm attracted to Tom Hanks, but he's not like, you don't look at him and go, swoon, what a movie star, you know?
No, but he is charismatic as hell, Kathleen.
Oh my God.
This is when I stopped taking notes and was very charmed by the movie. Yes. This is when I was like, uh-oh, I like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bethany, there you go.
I know. So the second point where I feel like this movie could have taken a really fun turn and I didn't see it coming is Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan agree to meet up.
Okay.
And then that is when she's sitting at the table. She has a book with a rose, which is going to be their sign. And then Tom Hanks and Dave Chappelle walk up to the restaurant. Dave Chappelle sees it's Meg Ryan. He tells Tom Hanks, oh my God, it's your enemy. Tom Hanks leaves her standing. And then like later comes back in. But he stands her up. And so then the next morning she goes into work and they're like, let's figure out why he stood you up. And like they come up with all of her coworkers come up with these really fun ideas. Steve Zahn comes in with a copy of the newspaper that says they caught the rooftop killer.
Oh.
And they caught the rooftop killer just a couple blocks away from the cafe that Meg Ryan was supposed to meet him. This would have been incredible if Tom Hanks was actually the rooftop killer. This is when I was like, this movie could have taken an amazing turn.
Yes. You know what? There should be a spinoff, The Rooftop Killer.
Yeah. All of this stuff is happening in the same world as You've Got Mail. People are being moited on rooftops.
Okay. So I have to tell you, the cafe where Meg Ryan's character, Kathleen Kelly, goes to think that she's going to meet her internet friend in that cafe is Cafe Lalo. And I went there in my teens like multiple times because I was trying to relive, this movie. And it's such a good cafe. They have the best creme brulee. So good.
I thought of you a lot during this movie because you lived in New Jersey, but you had access to Manhattan.
Yeah.
In the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
This is when the whiskey really hit in and I hit and I started to cry.
No, get out of here.
I said, I moved to New York too late.
Yeah.
And then I said, this New York doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't, no.
And then I wrote, I'm sobbing. And then I wrote, now I'm wasted. And then I wrote, this world feels so much safer. I wish we could all be Meg Ryan. And then at this point, Kathleen, all of my feelings of like missing my childhood and remembering how happy summers used to be before it got too hot on this earth and like being able to sleep in and not having to pay rent, it all comes flooding. And now I'm just crying on my couch watching these. You know, this is why I can't watch these movies.
The wonderful thing about rom-coms, too, is that, I mean, I love being in a stable relationship. I love my husband with all my heart. We've been together for like something absurd, like 16 years. But I love being reminded of what it's like to fall in love.
Kathleen, it's so exhausting.
No. Bethany, you know what it's like to fall in love. It feels so good. You have butterflies. You're getting to know the person for the first time. That is ultimately why I think You've Got Mail is a beautiful and iconic movie. Falling in love in the internet age. It's the first movie of its kind about falling in love on the internet.
You know what? Once I sobered up, I didn't remember a thing.
Bethany, I've been waiting next to the door in my lobby like a little child waiting for Santa Claus because my Vivino delivery, my wine delivery, is coming this week.
Kathleen, you have a giant order of wine coming. And if you are a wine lover, it is so nice to be able to order your wine through the Vivino app and not have to worry about lugging home bottles of wine, maybe having them break or clink together. And then everyone knows you're bringing home so much wine. Vivino makes the process of shopping for and getting your wine so much easier.
Vivino is the world's biggest online wine marketplace. They're also the largest online wine community with 50 million users who have rated and reviewed just about every wine. I'll open my Vivino app when I'm in the liquor store trying to pick out a bottle of wine and I can't decide between two. I like read the reviews and see what people have to say about the tannins and what notes they're smelling. you know, all that stuff.
And if you use the Vivino app, it is a total game changer. Kathleen and I both love it because you can scan a bottle of wine if you are in the liquor store, so you can learn more about that wine. You can see the ratings and those reviews. Everything's right there. It's super helpful. And then you can either buy the wine in the liquor store or order it on the app.
I have a whole case of one of my favorites, Stag's Leap Sauvignon Blanc, coming to my house. And I'm telling you, it's cheaper to order through Vivino than it is to go to the liquor store and buy 12 bottles of that. So I can't say enough good things about Vivino. It's my number one go-to source for all things wine, and it will be yours too.
Go to vivino.com/acquiredtaste and use the code acquiredtaste at checkout to save 20% on your first order of up to $200.
That's vivino.com, and I'm going to spell it for you, vivino.com/acquiredtaste, and then use the code acquiredtaste to save 20% on your first order of up to $200.
vivino.com/acquiredtaste and then the code acquiredtaste. See site for details. Terms apply. Kathleen, being aware of where our products come from is more and more important, and more companies are getting on board with that, which is great. But Everlane has been doing this since 2010. It's been that long that they've been making quality clothing with ethical factories and radically transparent pricing.
You know, Bethany, all that stuff is really important, but also their stuff is cute as hell. Like, whether I'm going to brunch with my friends or, you know, just need like an essentials outfit that's comfortable but still looks professional, Everlane is one of my go-tos.
Yeah, Everlane has timeless designs and the finest sustainable materials, so you can wear them for years to come. It's not one of these companies where you're going to buy a shirt and the first time you wash it, it's going to disintegrate. These are quality pieces for your wardrobe.
Bethany, go to the homepage right now.
Okay, everlane.com.
I want you to click on the banner that says summer isn't over. Shop late summer essentials.
Okay.
Look at all of the cute things that they have in there.
Yeah, their terry cloth notch shirt. It's like a button-down shirt, but it's a really breathable fabric and it comes in key lime, which is one of my, if I'm going to wear a color, you know I love a key lime.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I really want these Mary Jane espadrilles because they're in that like mustardy color that's good for summer, but also you can wear them all the way until October. And they have both men and women's clothing in timeless styles. And you know what? If you need transitional pieces that will take you from warm weather to cool weather where you're layering, Everlane is your go-to.
Plus, they have a sustainable swimwear collection made from recycled plastic, which is awesome. They also have track wear, lounge wear, and, you know, clothes for going out to the club. So go to everlane.com/taste and sign up for 10% off of your first order plus free shipping and get easy returns within 30 days of your ship date.
Again, that's 10% off of your first order when you go to everlane.com/taste and sign up. All right, Bethany, we're about to play Bad People.
Great, bring it. I'm excited about this.
We're going to figure out which one of us is worse than the other.
Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess? What does your mind tell you?
I am the worst person out of the two of us.
What is this? What is the metric for measurement for this game?
Okay, so first question, Bethany. Which of us is most likely to say I love you too early? I'm going to say you.
Oh, yeah, me, because I think that I say a lot. I definitely was the first person to say it in my relationship. And it
really to Dennis?
Yeah, and it was a moment of panic because it just sort of slipped out. Yeah, I can see, Kathleen, I can see you holding on to that phrase a little bit more. You're a little more guarded, I think, than I am.
It was my sort of like relationship trick to get boys to like me, that I would date them and then pretend that I really didn't like them, but I was like only tolerating them. And then they would like me even more because I was pretending not to like them. And that is how I always roped in my suitors.
Yeah, you were a mean girl.
I was. Yeah.
You were a mean girl.
I was. Yeah. I remember once getting so drunk one night, I was like, this is it. I'm going to tell Neil I love him and I'm going to have sex with him for the first time. And we've been dating for a while. Yeah. I'm going to say like almost 9 months. And I like, he's like, you're drunk. Please don't do this now. Please don't say this now. We're not going to do this now. And then I was like, like right after I said, I love you. And I had to run down the hall to the bathroom. I still lived in the dorms. My bathrobe came flying open. So my naked body is just flapping in the wind on the way to throw up. And Neil's like, yeah, this is really romantic.
Oh, did he say it back? Did he hold your hair and say it back?
I think he had already said it before then. And he was like, you don't have to say it yet, but I'm going to say it.
That's kind of romantic.
So what did Dennis do when you said I love you?
He laughed at me.
No.
Because really? No, not in a bad way, because I said it and then I cuz it slipped out and I got this look of absolute panic on my face and he was laughing at that because he's like, "Oh, I love you too." And I also know that you didn't mean to say that, and I'm laughing at what a mess, what a sloppy mess you are.
So if one of us needed to help someone else bury a body in the middle of the night, a dead body, yeah. Who do you think would be more capable of doing that between you and me?
Honestly, mm-hmm. I think you.
I think so, yeah, too. Yeah,
I think you, because I think you're doing so much home renovation on your mom's house right now that you have a really good understanding of things like foundation and digging. Yeah. And lime.
But here's the thing. You are a good story writer. So you would come up with like a really good alibi for whomever had to bury the body.
Yeah. I think that we are the dream team when it comes to disposing of a body. I think that with your knowledge of infrastructure and my knowledge of past wins and fails of serial killers and how bodies have been successfully destroyed, I think together we can't be beat except for by forensic.
My favorite fact that I ever learned from you, Bethany, was that if you're going to bury a body, you have to do it vertically and not horizontally because there's less surface area for the dogs to sniff it out.
Upside down, vertically. So all of the – this is awful. All of the blood and everything goes down at least 6 feet into the earth. And so the dogs really are only smelling the soles of your feet.
Yes. You know what? Anybody listening to this, if you need to bury a body and that person's dead within reason, like you were protecting yourself or something.
Yeah, and the police are like, the police know you did it and are okay with it and are asking you to bury the body. You know, like this is all on the up and up.
Yeah, it's all on the up and up. It's like totally legal killing. Yeah. Call Bethany and I. We are the dream team, the bury body dream
team. Now, we do charge a very hefty fee and we do need proof that the police are okay with it first. But yes, absolutely.
Logistics, you know, semantics, logistics and semantics, Bethany. I don't need all of those things to like really.
I do feel like our lawyer, the last time we talked to him, would be okay with that. Would be okay with like figuring out how to make it legal.
Yeah, because he learned everything he needed to learn about law school on YouTube.
Yeah,
he told us.
So,
which of us do you think is most likely to get a tattoo that we'll regret later?
You.
Really? Because I'm going to say you.
I think you would get real messy one night and go out with a bunch of your girlfriends, day drunk on white wine, get like drunk all day, all night. And then you guys get an idea that you're going to get girlfriends tattoos and you all go to the same tattoo parlor and you all get like three infinity signs wrapped around each other into a triangle. And it ends up looking like some sort of like Masonic symbol that I'd be psyched about, but I think that you would realize was a mistake.
Oh, God, Bethany, there's no symbol I hate more than the fucking infinity symbol because it's boring. It's like a letter. It's the number eight that somebody sat on. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
It's the number eight that fell over.
But you have tattoos. So I think that's why you're more likely to get a tattoo.
I have two. Well, but I am probably more likely to get a tattoo, but one that I regret. That's the clincher. I think. Yeah. I'm going to stand by it. I think it would be you. And I think it would be under peer pressure from because you have a couple of those wild girlfriends that I've never met that I think are a little questionable.
Yeah, they are.
I think that you have a couple who are like, let's do some crazy stuff. And I think that you're I think that given the right combination of cocktails, you'd be down for anything.
This one, Bethany, this next one is undoubtedly you.
Okay.
Which of us is most likely to have sex with their cousin? So you had that really big crush on your cousin for a very long time.
I did have a really big crush on my cousin. But in my defense, I didn't know him very well. I'd only seen him one other time at a family reunion. He was a distant cousin, at least a second or third. And he had very long, luxurious hair in the back. It was shorter in the front, but it was long in the back.
Okay. Most likely to hook up with someone just because of their accent. This one is also definitely
this
you.
One I've done twice before.
I know, I like a good accent, I know it gets your loins like a little jiggly. You're like, yeah. Oh.
You know, I mean, and when you're traveling abroad, you need to take a lover, right? Doesn't matter where you are.
So what are the two accents that you've hooked up with just because of their accents?
I had a lover in London and I had a lover in Oslo.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
And one of them sculpted something for me and gave it to me, and it's in my house right now. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Does Dennis know that you have a former lover sculpture in your house?
He does. He's okay with it. I think he's okay with it.
Which of us is most likely to obey the voices in their head?
Oh, that's also me. Oh, no, Kathleen.
I know. You might be the worst person.
Oh, man. Because it's not bad to have voices in your head, but it is bad to not take your medication for it, you know?
Oh, Bethany. You know, I'm trying to think of a point in time where I ever had a voice in my head. Like before I'm about to do something dangerous, like jump off the high dive, the voice in my head is always like, you're not going to die. Just do it. Just do it. You know?
Yeah. Like I don't have literal voices in my head, but I do have my self-talk, mm-hmm. which is always mm-hmm. like, there's no way you can do that thing that you're trying desperately to try and do and have been trying for 2 years.
Okay. Which of us is most likely to secretly run a meth lab?
You.
100%.
You're better at diversifying your income streams. And also, you're very good at DIY. Mm. I think the only thing that would bring down your meth lab is that you would start the project of building your meth lab, but you would never finish it.
I would. Oh, God, you know me way too well.
And then Neil would mm-hmm. just get really frustrated that the meth lab accoutrements were around the house, but not yet formed into something. Mm-hmm. Because I also feel like you have all of the ventilators and the personal protection equipment needed for all of the bleach smells that are going to be coming out of your kitchen.
Sure, of course.
I just think it's you wouldn't follow through.
You're right. I would like order everything I needed from Amazon and then it would just sit in the boxes and I would build the counter and stuff like that. And then I'd just be like, ugh. I'm tired.
You not finishing your meth lab is probably the best thing that could ever happen to your meth lab because it's going to keep you out of prison.
It's true, but it's, you know, like I would like to make some extra cash. If you had to take a job that was illegal as a side hustle, what would you take?
Oh, how illegal?
Just minorly illegal. Or like you go to prison for 3 months max.
I mean, no, I don't really love to travel, so drug muling wouldn't be great.
Oh, I know what you would do.
Would you poop a balloon? What would you do?
You would take books and make illegal copies of them to give them to people in need.
That is the most pure illegal thing. That is the sweetest illegal thing.
I think that that's what you would do. You would like distribute illegal copies of murder mysteries and hand them out to people on the street.
Yeah, like I would like photocopy Agatha Christie novels and staple them together. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that there's also, I don't know if it's an NYU or if it's a Parsons book binding service on Fifth Avenue as you're heading towards Flatiron. And it is so cute looking. And it has a very clear sign in the front that says not open to the public. It's only for Parsons students to make their own books, I guess. Oh. And I really just want to break in and bind my own books, Kathleen. But it's not open to the public. Oh. So I think I would maybe do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Those Parsons people, they bleed for those less fortunate. So I think that you could probably just explain to them what you were doing and they would help you out.
What about you? What would be your illegal thing? I'm trying to think.
I think I would either get a job at a fast food restaurant. And, you know, you're supposed to throw away all the food that wasn't eaten. Like, legally, they can't. It's, like, too risky for restaurants like McDonald's to give the uneaten food to the homeless.
Really?
Yeah. I believe that that is true. I would package up the food, and I would find people, like, I would drive it and find people who could eat it after.
Yeah. And you do hear stories about someone, like, a small cog in a giant corporation wheel doing something like that and then getting fired. Like, you hear about that every once in a while, and people are outraged. It's like, I think there was some guy who got in a lot of trouble because he lived by a Walmart. And the Walmart employees were just throwing trash into the river near that was right behind the Walmart too, and they wouldn't clean it up. And so finally he just cleaned it up, and he got in a lot of trouble because he was like on private Walmart land cleaning. And like it's one of those stories where he's doing the right thing and gets in trouble for it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think something like that. Would I sell drugs? No, because now it's legal everywhere. Like, there's no point
depends on selling drugs
anymore. Well, yeah, but the only drug I have enough chutzpah to sell would be marijuana. Yeah. I mean, I might sell pills, but, like, that's – you're not going to get caught for
you
that.
You are going
like,
to get caught for scale. That. You're definitely going to get caught for that.
It's just – I sell to people in my building, like, very low scale, low production.
All of a sudden, Kathleen, you are selling drugs. You're a drug dealer. That's how slippery that slope is.
Which of us will have the funeral with the smallest attendance?
So oh, sad. Oh, me?
No, I'm going to say me.
No, Kathleen, you have many, many people. You have more friends than God.
No, your Instagram following is so large. More people are going to show up
but
to
your funeral.
But
every time I post, people unsubscribe.
You know what? Me too. Me too. It's okay.
It happened again. Anytime I post a picture of myself where I feel really good, I lose like 1,000 followers.
You know what? Those people, fuck them. They're so boring and they hate their lives. That's what I just say to myself.
Yeah. But I don't think that many people are coming to my funeral. Plus, I want it to be a Viking funeral. So it has to be on like a river or an ocean.
That's true.
You know, people get weird about traveling. You know, they'd have to travel somewhere. I don't think that many people would come.
Speaking of death.
Yeah.
Which of us is more likely to end up in hell, you think?
Me.
No, me.
Why you?
Bethany, sometimes I'm so evil. Sometimes inside my head, my thoughts are so evil.
Like what? What's the last evil thought? Be super honest.
I don't know. I just feel like generally I lean towards evil. Like, <don't> no.
like your evil thoughts about people or like evil things you want to do or just
like... Like this painter at my mom's house was on a ladder so high, and I was just looking at him up there, and I was like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't fall. And then I like imagined him falling and his death and what would happen. Like, what would I do? What would his partner do? Like, they brought their kids to swim in the pool while they were painting my mom's house. Like, what would the kids do? What would the police say when they got there? Like,
that's not evil. I think that's pretty average human. Evil would be like if you were Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son and you like pushed him off the ladder. That's evil.
Oh.
Even having the thought of pushing him off the ladder is actually a pretty normal human thought. It's just acting on it.
So why do you think that you are more likely to go to hell? Because you're borderline witch?
Everything that I study is very good and natural.
Yeah.
But what if the Christian God is right?
Oh.
You know, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
But you're a lapsed Catholic, so like maybe you're worse.
You know, Bethany, and you're obsessed with serial killers too, so.
I think between the two of us, we're not looking good.
No, we're not. No. No, we're not looking good, you know, but that's okay. I'm like, I know it'll be worse for you because you don't like the heat.
I don't like the heat.
I like the heat. So
I'll be good when hell freezes over. I'll be very comfortable in that weather.
Bethany, which of us is more likely to change our religion because a partner wanted them to?
You.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Judaism, yeah. I'm there.
Yeah, because I think that you're not terribly religious.
No.
And so I think that it doesn't really – I think to you it's more of like – it's more of a series of habits than like a deep belief. Would you say that's like, right?
Yeah. So Dennis is a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever asked you to join him in his Buddhist commitment?
Never. No. He's like, if you're interested, I can tell you about it. And we've talked about it. I'm definitely curious what he believes. The – core beliefs are really more, from what I understand, how you approach the world and how you handle your thoughts and how you behave in the world. It's less about like outer gods and that
got
kind
it.
Of thing, you know?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, which of us is most likely to join a cult?
Oh, me, for sure. Absolutely. I see, like when I watch the Nexium cult thing.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with my friends this weekend.
Kathleen, I would have joined and had no idea what I was getting into And yeah. I would have been all about that ugly sash system.
Yeah.
And I definitely would have gotten in too far.
It's easy to see how someone at their lowest point would fall into that kind of trap.
For sure. Even the Jonestown cult. That cult started out as this group of people who wanted to treat all races equal and wanted, yeah. you know, equal treatment for everyone. And it was supposed to be this high ideal sort of living situation. And then it just got real dark.
That's why when I was at a low point in my life on this podcast, I was talking a lot about how I loved Rachel Hollis's books.
Yeah.
Later realized that I totally fell into her cult trap. Like, yeah. you know, I was worshiping a woman that did not deserve to be worshipped.
No.
And it's easy. I get it.
Yeah. You want someone who seems like they know more than you to mm-hmm. tell you what to do.
Exactly. Sometimes you just don't want to make decisions for your life because yeah. you feel lost.
Yes, exactly. So cults, as much as we joke about them, they're very serious. Mm-hmm. I joined an MLM at one point, Kathleen. Like
that's right.
I luckily got out of it real fast because I'm not uh-huh. good at selling things. And I was mm-hmm. always kind of uncomfortable and kind of always knew what was happening and that I didn't want to do it. But yeah. someone close to me was like, you should do this thing. This is the answer to your problems. And I believed her.
I could never do an MLM because I never want to feel indebted to someone. And every time someone bought something from me, yeah. I would be like, oh my God, thank you. Let me pay for half of it. Like yeah. I'll get.
No, literally. My sweet family were the only people who bought things from me. And like, aww. I am so embarrassed. But like, what are you going to do?
Which of us is most likely to have their friendliness and misinterpreted as flirting?
Me.
Yeah, definitely you.
Me. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
Oh, no.
Happens all the time. I have, but I, yeah, it's hard.
There was this boy in high school whose locker was next to mine, and I think he didn't have a lot of female interaction. So I was always like, hey, Chris, what's up? And I knew he liked me. I was maybe too nice to him. Because I knew that he liked me.
Kathleen, you were such a mean girl.
Is that awful?
If that had happened to me, I would have stopped talking to him because I would have been so terrified that he liked me. And I would have just been like, oh, no. Oh, crap. Erase. Back it up. Back it up.
Which of us would be more likely to blow all of our money after winning the lottery?
You.
Yeah.
No question. And I already know you're going to buy a brownstone because you've talked about it.
Which of us would be more likely to hook up with a close friend's ex? I mean, like, I might do it.
I think if we're single, it's more you. Yeah.
I mean, how long have they been broken up? That's what I want to know.
Last night they broke up.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But if it's like a year later.
No. Last night they broke up. He wants to have dinner with you tonight to like really talk about it. You both get drunk and he starts talking about how beautiful you are and how he's always had a thing for you.
Bethany, that is my kryptonite. I've always had a thing for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're exactly. It's been less than 18 hours since he broke up with Rachel Jessica and you are now hooking up with him.
I had a friend once who told me we were driving in his car and he's like, you're the one who got away. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm panicking. God. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, am I going to cheat on my husband right now?
I was cheating on your husband.
Did no, you go well? I've never. And I will never. I have too much respect for him. Did it go well, Bethany?
Kathleen and I were just talking about going to the dentist. I have a dentist appointment tomorrow at noon. And Kathleen hasn't been to the dentist since 2020.
Bethany, it's so shameful.
No, it's not. It's really not.
I wasn't going because of COVID. And then anyway.
Yeah.
That is why I'm glad that I have my Brush toothbrush because Brush has been taking care of my teeth just as well as my dentist would take care of my teeth. I swear.
Brush is this beautiful toothbrush we've been talking about for a long time. It has this sleek, modern design with a bunch of different colors. I have it in lilac. You can get it in forest green and red and marigold, but also it's a sonic toothbrush, so it gets your teeth super clean with 6 different unique modes.
Also, it has a 4-week battery life and a little tiny magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. One of the things about having toothbrushes that, you know, do the brushing for you is that, you know, sometimes they come in these really bulky stands and I don't have room on my bathroom counter space. Brush lasts for 4 4 weeks, so I only have to think about charging my toothbrush once a month.
Yeah, and that charging stand is maybe an inch square,
yeah,
maybe a little more than that. It's so small, and when you're not charging, it tucks right into a drawer really easily, gets out of the way, so it's not taking up all that space.
And there's a subscription program where they send you your brush heads, and so you know, like, it's time to change out this brush head. Unlike me, I would use it until it was, like, bare bones, like, the bristles were flat, and I'd be like, oh, maybe it's time to get a new toothbrush.
Yeah, I always forget how quickly time passes. They're remembering for me.
Yes.
So get 15% off of your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at Brush.com.
That's 15% off using the promo code TASTE at Brush.com. Brush.com. Bethany, remember when you were doing that thing about wiki posts to the tune of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, it's a bot called TMNT Wikipedia titles. The handle is wiki_TMNT. And yeah, it just like goes through Wikipedia titles that scan to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song and posts them. Like Julie Mayer, Desperate Housewives. It's very good.
So after we were talking about that on the podcast, we had a taste bud call in and they left a voicemail and said that there was something going on Twitter a while ago too, where it was like a new fad diet. You could only eat things to the tune of Alexander Hamilton. It was like chocolate toffee apple cake.
I remember chiming in on this Twitter thread and my tweet didn't get that many likes and I remember being very salty about it.
Sag paneer and garlic naan.
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda posted cafecito light and sweet.
I love this. Mashed up kale with sausage now. Ew, no, I don't want to eat mashed up kale. Ah, cold champagne and tater tots. Yes.
That one's good.
That's the best one. So I came up with my own sentences to the tune of help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Okay, you had us both write some. What are yours? Give me one and I'll give you one.
My head's in the fridge and I can't find a snack.
I did, Matt, I'm finished and I'm leaving you.
I'm getting a divorce, but I'm not that upset.
Wait, I think I'm getting a divorce and I'm not that upset. Wait, I think that's 12. Help,
no,
I've
I'm getting a divorce and I'm not that upset. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, you're doing it like more the rhythm of it. Okay, I see. I think I did it by the actual syllable count.
My puppy is ugly and I can't give it back.
No one move. I'm going to rob this bank. Marge, I'm sorry, but I ate your lunch.
My house plants are family because my family's an asshole. I mean, some people really feel that way.
Ted, we voted and you're our next meal. That was my last one. What were you saying about you found a pet cemetery?
So I've been digging up rocks in my mom's house, at my mom's house, because we're renovating the backyard.
Yeah.
And I dug one up and I like put them all on a stack. And then I realized at the top of the stack, there was a stone that said RIP, like it was covered with dirt. And then I think it says Biffy. And it definitely was. Somebody buried their pet underneath this flat stone and then put the RIP side face down. Aww. So it was in the dirt. So we never noticed it before. And now I'm thinking there's like a dead dog or a dead cat back there or something.
Did you keep digging?
Well, now I kind of want to. I want to do a full excavation to find the bones.
So this is so weird that this just happened to you, because there is something similar happening to me.
What?
I pass like the same route every day. And a few weeks ago, I noticed that a sweet cat had been hit or something. There was a dead cat on the side of this, like kind of hidden so people didn't see it. It was so sad. I was really sad. And over the weeks, I've kind of been watching it as nature kind of does its thing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if when it's just bones, do I want to take the skull? And is that weird?
You're waiting for it to decompose.
Yeah. Like, and it's almost there. It's mostly skull and bones now. And it's so sad. And I just want but I'm also fascinated by it. And like, when it's just bones, I'm like, should I take them? Or is that weird?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's that weird. I think that you would be honoring a life.
That's kind of what I think. It's like this sweet cat you know, mm-hmm. died, was probably hit by a car. And mm-hmm. you should, you know, I did a little thing to release its spirit and whatever. And yeah. And so now I just kind of want it to have like a loving resting place, even yeah. if it's just its head. I don't know. Is this odd? I feel like I'm walking no. the line between it being a little dark.
No, I mean, no. Think about people who go into the park during the fall and they take leaves and they press them and use them as decor. It's no different. You're just honoring something that was once alive.
So what would you do if you dig up your pet cemetery? What are you going to do?
I think that I will I'll rebury it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then put the stone back, aww. You know, where I rebury it.
That's really nice. I think that's the right thing to do. Because this animal was clearly buried with love.
Yeah.
So I think it should stay buried. Dennis just bought a bat that is, it's like the skeleton of the bat has been kind of put back together and it's under a bell jar. And the person who does it just takes animals that people have given. Like if they find like a beloved barn cat or something passes away, or if they find an animal, they take the animal to this person and he either taxidermies them or he does the skeleton. And it's only ethically done. He doesn't like kill animals for it, or he doesn't take animals that were killed for it. He just takes animals that have passed away naturally. And there's something about it. There's something about not being afraid to look at what death looks like and what is left over, and being kind of like, we're so removed from death in our culture. And
I know
we don't like to talk about it. We don't like I know we've talked about this a couple weeks ago. And I think there is something about being reminded that this is all very natural. Even watching this cat through the weeks kind of go through the process of coming back to the earth is a very interesting process that I have never been privy to before. And it's gruesome, but it's natural. It's what it's supposed to be.
This is why I think, because cemeteries, the world is going to run out of space burying people in cemeteries. It's just not a sustainable thing.
Right.
This is why you should be buried in your own backyard after you pass away.
I think I'm all about then this new kind of ethical, earth-friendly burials. Like I don't want to be put into an,
like, water cremation.
Yeah, water cremation is great. Don't put me in a concrete, like, block of airtight something so nothing can ever get to me. Like, that's taking up that much space in the earth after you're dead and you're not providing any service to anyone. What is that all about? I don't get it. I think it's a waste of money and space and money.
What if we just use dead bodies in, like, are we compostable? Do you think the human body is compostable?
Totally.
Oh my God, this has taken such a dark turn.
It's not dark, though. That's the thing. It's not actually dark. We just decide it's dark because it's uncomfortable.
What if there's a facility that grows food for people who don't have food, and it's mainly like composted by human bodies?
I think it would have a PR problem, and here's why. Because it's not food for everyone. It's just food for people who can't afford better food, and so they have to eat the dead body food.
I think that's the PR problem. I didn't think this through. I didn't think this through very clearly.
But I do think your heart's in the right place. I think that people are compostable. I mean, I think we're, you know, people go back to the earth eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, why do we have to waste trees to make these, like, elaborate coffins and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. That's why I say, again, Viking funerals. Like,
send us off on a
raft. You don't have to make it out of wood if you don't want to. You can make it out of, like random stuff you find together, thatch it together with some twine, put me on it, float me out, set me on fire. You know, dance naked in the moonlight. That's how I want my burial to be.
Well, then that's this carbon issue, Bethany, because, you know, you're burning. So
that's true. You know what? Take some corporate documents that you would rather not be found, and also put those around me. So you're at least getting rid of evidence while you're getting rid of my body.
Speaking of a PR problem, I thought, and I hope I haven't talked about this on the pod before, but I saw a headline that was like, the Real Housewives of the North Pole. I was like, what? They really are finding these rich ladies everywhere. What kind of community do they have in the North Pole where they're wearing Louis Vuitton in the snow? Like, come on. Turns out it's just a Hallmark movie that has somehow gotten the permission to use the Real Housewives name.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you, Bethany. I thought it was a real thing. That was the season that I was actually going to be excited to watch.
So they're actually using the logo of the Real Housewives.
It's the Real Housewives of the North Pole. It's a Hallmark movie starring Kyle Richards. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Actually, it's not a Hallmark movie. It's a Peacock movie. So I guess Peacock is trying to like get in on some of these like heartwarming holiday
movies. Yeah, everyone is. Everyone is. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think Kyle Richards is in the new Halloween movie too.
One of the cards that I didn't read in my section was which of us would be more likely to be a gold digger?
You.
Bethany, like this rich old man falls in love with you. Dennis is okay with it. He's like, okay, Bethany, you're just going to do this to support us. Like, and he'll probably die soon. You wouldn't do it?
Oh, no, I would definitely do it. If I liked him. Of course. If I genuinely liked the old man and like.
If he was tolerable.
Yeah, like, and he didn't have existing family, I would be screwing out of inheritance. Like, if he was just this old man who lived alone, he was like an eccentric millionaire. And yeah. And Dennis and I were in on it, and we just make a throuple out of it. That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine,
I'm okay with
right?
that. Yeah, okay.
And then, yeah, he leaves you his millions, and then you continue the rest of your life well-funded.
That's fine. You know what? Like, the world is a harder place to live in than any of us anticipated when we were young. You do what you gotta do to get by, as long as you're not hurting anyone.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I am not drinking nearly enough water, and you, gentle listener, are probably not drinking nearly enough water. I like to think I am. I've labeled myself someone who drinks enough water, and so I believed my own hype, but I'm really not, and I have headaches all the time, especially in this weather, and it turns out, oh, you give yourself the medal for drinking enough water, and it's, so it means you got lazy, and you stopped drinking water. Drink enough water. You got to drink water. Drink it.
The best way to kick off your day is with like 16 ounces. Just pound 16 ounces.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm back to really being mindful of how much water I'm drinking. Every doctor and beauty thing and brain thing is like first steps first. Water.
How many ounces are you trying to drink a day?
I'd like to drink 100.
Oh, God, that's hard.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's right or wrong. I'm just, you know, I'm doing what my heart and my God tell me.
I try 80, but I usually only make it to 50.
You know, I think that's better than nothing. Kathleen, what about you? What'd you learn this week?
So I learned that in 1906, in Morocco, there is this man. He was a serial killer. His name was Mohamed Mesfoui. He was found guilty of murdering 36 women, and his punishment was to be put into a wall and then bricked up. Like, so he was like in a little tiny space behind a wall. It was all bricked up and he was put there alive.
I've never heard of this guy. I've heard before of that being a thing.
Yeah.
I think I've heard of like monks. I think it's always apocryphal. I don't know if it's ever actually true, but like a monk who, you know, was a bad guy, got walled up. A woman who was in an abusive relationship, her husband walled her up. It is the most awful
death.
Also, how do you keep it from – it takes a while to build a wall. How do you keep them from jumping out? Especially in 1906, you're not like pulling up drywall. You're bricking it.
Well, think of it. There's like a small little nook and you chain them to something inside the nook.
Oh, you
something
chain
that's like,
them. I just thought you like backed them into a corner and then really quickly put bricks up. And I was like, they're going to get out.
No. I mean, also you could drug them and then brick it up.
See, Kathleen, this is why you have that brain. You have that dark, dark brain.
This is why I think I'm going to hell, because I'm so evil, because I think about this stuff on the reg.
Never occurred to me to drug them, Kathleen.
Oh, apparently this guy lived for 2 days. He was screaming inside there for 2 days. And then, I mean, but he killed 36 women. Yeah. So like, yeah.
No,
pay your dues.
There are some people who I think deserve to be bricked into a wall. Will I do it? Oh, no. Gosh. I'm not a vigilante. I'm not Batman. But
I wouldn't initiate the process, but if somebody needed my help and it really was a bad person, like I might help them.
You join the mob.
Yeah.
You join the angry townsfolk.
Why not?
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also follow the show on social media.
We are Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. It's a truly wonderful community.
We are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
We are Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
You can also send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, ask us for some advice. We haven't gotten too many of those lately. You can also send us some snail mail, and that is Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Call us and leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. You can give us a call at 917-994-0353.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Taste buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's your taste bud, Sophia from Washington. I had to stop the recent podcast because you two were talking about pedal pushers. Oh my gosh. My mom used to call these pants pedal pushers growing up. So they're capris. And the reason that they're called pedal pushers was because when girls were allowed to start wearing pants, their pants would always get caught on the pedals of their bikes. And so they started making the leg shorter so that they could safely ride their bikes and not get their pant legs caught in their pedals. And that is why they are called pedal pushers. My first time calling in, I'm really nervous. I hope I did a good job. I love both you ladies. I wrote you a letter. I just need to send it. So it's going to be a little late because it's post-stamped for maybe a few months ago, but that's besides the point. We've all been really busy. I just want to thank both of you for your amazing podcast. It's been getting me through a really hard transition these past few months, and I have it on almost every day except when I'm not at work, and sometimes I will put it on at work when no one is around to wrap me out. Anywho, love you guys so much. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and stay cool.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Liana. I am currently on my way to my first dress fitting for my wedding dress, which is very exciting, but it's not actually why I called. I called because Bethany was talking about camping, and it reminded me of this very profound thing that another co-host of another podcast said that I think you ladies need to hear, and that is when you go camping or when you go into the woods, you either find the skull or you become the skull. I hope you ladies take that into consideration the next time you go out. Maybe don't. I like the indoors as well. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hi, ladies. It's Taste Bud Liana. I am also putting on my tinfoil hat because I'm going to tell you guys that algorithms have this really dark side to them, especially when you get into, like, conspiracy theories and alt-right and incels and those groups, especially on YouTube. You can have someone make a YouTube video that not a lot of people will see about some crazy alt-right conspiracy theory. But then when you watch one, you're recommended another, and then another, and then another. And if it hits the algorithm in the right way, it can blow up in this small community. So there is a dark side to this. And I would love if, Kathleen, you did a deep dive on algorithms again and did, you know, the darker side of it. Or if Bethany wants to be your foil and do that, that'd be really cool. But yeah, there's a lot of information that I think you guys would really find interesting.
Hi, this is Taste Bud Cassidy from Vermont. I was calling because I was listening to an episode about the liminal spaces, and it reminded me of this episode of Dark Tourist, which is kind of like a travel docuseries on Netflix where they visit, like, dark tourism attractions. And one of the episodes is called The Stands, where they go to, like, Kazakhstan and those sort of places. But part of it, they go into a city that is just, like, completely empty. It's very ornate and, like, over the top, but there's no one in the streets. And the part that makes it extra weird is that they're having some sort of, like, version of their Olympics. So you'd expect the streets to be full of things, and it's just a very eerie feeling on top of the fact that it's the dictatorship. So that's definitely something I'd recommend watching. The entire series is super cool. But anyways, hope you guys are having a great day.
Bye.
Hi. Yes, hi, it's Caitlin. I am listening to the episode, and I had to call because of the salad talk and how lettuce, like bagged lettuce, had like a chemical on it, like bleach or that other one was safe to eat. For multiple years, I have said I can taste the difference between bagged lettuce, and regular lettuce. And everyone thinks I'm nuts. It's like, no, like lettuce tastes the same no matter where it comes from. I was like, no, there's a weird taste with lettuce that comes from a bag. And now that you're saying all of this, I feel seen and heard. And I am so excited. I am thrilled because it's nice to feel a little bit right in the world. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. All right. See you later. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.